o'clock hour of Will the Tausch begins now. Included during this portion of the program, trivia. Did you guys do trivia without any incidents? We got just one round of trivia today.
Yeah, I think we handled trivia pretty well.
I did not write a single question over the last 10 days. I feel fully recharged and ready to go for being at the forefront of trivia once again here.
Well, we'll be the judge of that. We've also got Woe Nelly, which, who handled Woe Nelly while you were in the big chair?
Again?
We had some good woes. Like, the woes were good.
We had
Woe Gravy and then Woe Riley yesterday. Riley knows, Riley's good at the woes. He's good woer.
Okay. I feel like as long as we don't have him doing trivia about UFC, and I mean his storytelling about his love letters definitely next level.
So we had Hunter Vaughn, Alex Gravatt, and Riley Yauch stepped in as producers while you were gone. And I think, like Tausch said, I think each of them had their own strengths and memorable moments that they were able to share with us over their time. So it was a nice balance among the three of them, I'd say. Right.
Well, Jesse's back in his comfort zone, and he will handle Woe Nelly a little bit later. But while I was gone, you guys had Greg Cosell on, who I really enjoy, and I'm slightly disappointed that I missed out on having been on the show when he was on, because he's really smart, really insightful. But I get to hear a few of the things that he said while he was on with you as we play. Jesse, do you have like music for this, or did you just think this was catchy? Apparently, we're going to play "By or Cosell." That's clever. That's actually pretty clever.
I hadn't even thought about putting any special. This is how out of practice I am back here. I just wanted to play two clips in particular for you and get your reactions to them. They were particularly compelling.
The first clip in "By or Cosell," without any sort of music, is this.
After I watched Jordan Love, not his last year in college, but his next to last year, because his last year they changed coaching staffs. He was clearly an uncomfortable player. But after his second to last year in college, I said that this guy had really high-level traits. And, you know, he got the chance to start last year, and it really started to show up. And like I said, he's a top three or four quarterback in the league just in terms of physical traits.
What does that caveat at the end mean?
Which one?
He's a top three or four quarterback in the league just in terms of physical traits. What is that?
Arm strength.
No, I understand what physical traits. No.
Oh, I didn't know. I know you've been gone for a while. I didn't realize I had to start defining like every little
word. No,
good calves.
Yeah, no. I understand physical strength, strong arm, athleticism. I got that.
Yeah, did you get any sun? We were worried. Somehow calves came up now that Jesse just brought that up.
What do you mean somehow?
And you always rave about how
he's a big calf guy. I wonder how his calves are doing.
I don't know where that narrative came from. I've got catcher's calves. I got big,
anyways,
ugly calves.
Are they Casper-esque?
So I did walk the campus of beautiful UW Oshkosh multiple days because I didn't want to sit in the gym and hover the entire time that Cindy was on the court. So it was like being in college again. Like, you remember, well, you drove a scooter, right?
I did, you were
a big scooter guy.
Yeah, mopeder.
I was a mopeder. I was a walker at the University of Wisconsin. So I walked the campus, and I walked to the bookstore, and I went to lunch, and it was so I was out in the sun a lot. So I got a little sunburn,
okay. But
I wouldn't say that I tanned. I certainly did not lay out on the quad in my Speedo to get some sun. So no, I don't think I'm any more.
Nobody brought anything about a Speedo up, just for the record. No, and I mean nobody brought that up.
Why did you bring it up?
I don't know why you went there.
Did you see
someone in a Speedo on the campus laying out?
When I think of sun tanning, and I've told her this before, so I feel no guilt for sharing this, but when I was a student at the University of Wisconsin and the UW volleyball team had won its first Big Ten title my freshman year, and two of their best players, Susan Wolford and Liz Tortorello lived in our building, and they would lay out and suntan in our front yard. And I would say that that was not good for the academic success of many people that lived in the buildings. And Liz knew this, and I don't think that deterred them at all. And so when I think of people suntanning, I think of people that don't look like me. And so I went for a joke of being in a Speedo in, you know, in the front yard of a, of the quad. I don't recommend that, no. And I don't plan on doing that on any campus or in the privacy of my own backyard. Now, if we could move on.
Whoa, Nelly!
Byron Cosell is a wild segment.
I don't know what in the world, what road we just went down. You went from me like, I don't want any visualization to tell me more. And now I don't know what, I don't even know where the hell to go. Like, I'm picturing you as a sophomore in college sitting out with a big old jug of lemonade on a porch swing, looking out at a couple of volleyball girls tanning. That's what I envisioned you doing.
Yeah, that's is that a bad? Well, I would just say this: much better visual than the previous one that you had. Fair?
Well, I don't know. I never even thought of having anything like that.
I was wondering
if your big old calves got any sun. And next thing you know, you're taking me through a whirlwind of different visualizations.
Well, this all started with you defining physical traits for me, which was not what I was looking for.
Defining
what do you?
Oh, your question. Oh, yeah, that was a long time ago.
It's great to be back. So I understand.
Or Cosell.
I understand the sexiest game we play. I understand what physical traits are. For him to say he's one of the top three or four quarterbacks in terms of physical traits feels to me like a caveat of saying, well, he's physically talented. We'll see what he actually does as a quarterback. Like that, physical traits are not reading defenses, decision-making, all those types of things. I was just a little surprised that he attached that caveat to what he said about being one of the top three or four quarterbacks.
Well, I think anytime you're not a top 10 pick in the NFL draft, there's always the, well, either you can't do some of the things outside of the physical gifts, or you have the physical gifts and you can't do it. So it's one or the other typically. That's, you know, if you're a top three pick, it's all you got the goods. You know, Caleb Williams, he's everything. He can read defenses. He's quick with decisions. And he's got all of the physical attributes. So I think with Jordan Love, I think a lot of times people are thinking, well, maybe he's gifted, but he's raw. And maybe he doesn't process things the way you'd want. And I think what Greg was saying in that is he's a really good quarterback. He played well. We still have a lot to learn about what he's got. But what we saw, this isn't some, not to say Brock Purdy, but this isn't some young guy that nobody really was thinking about that is a good processor that had a great coach that schemes people open, because there's a lot of people that look at Brock Purdy that way.
You included.
They don't look at Jordan Love that way. They look at Jordan Love as, when you say top three or four physically gifted quarterbacks, you're putting him in the Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen category. And when you put that along with all of the success that he had in the second half of the season, I think that's why I'm buying the Cosell and not selling it.
So I buy it too. Now my question to follow up is this: what aspect of Jordan Love's game does concern you if you are having to pick one? You can't just say, well, none of them concern me because he's so star-spangled awesome. So if it's not the physical traits, is there anything that could be his, I don't call it a downfall, but his take-a-step-back fall that he might have in his game?
I was always worried with Jordan got here about that completion percentage.
Mm-hmm.
That's always going to be, and that's, you know, there's a myriad of things that go into it. It's your footwork, it's your decision making and understand, it's your protection, it's, are the wide receivers running the right routes? you have all of those other things that play into that. But his completion percentage at practice wasn't great. The beginning of his time last year wasn't great. It was in the, hovering in the, what, high 50s, low
57.
60s.
Yep.
Can't win. Can't win doing that. So we loved that he got it up, and I think there were some games he just had 80%, which is dynamite. If he can live in that high 60s, low 70s completion percentage and then still showcase that he can get out of the pocket and do the things that we've seen and we really liked, there aren't any. But that's always going to be until he's 3-4 years in as a starter and he's shown, I'm going to be a 68, 70% completion percentage guy. That will always be the, well, how is this going to be? That would be my, let's see where Jordan's at, because that stat, I think, tells a lot about not just you as a quarterback, but it tells you your decision-making, ball placement, and how you're all married up to the offense, because you can't win in the NFL throwing it at a, you know, high 50s clip. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, and if I had to pick one, I would say that if his decision-making is, if that takes a step back, that leads to a step back in his performance. And again, we thought that he had gone so far that we were all shocked that he threw that ball at the end of the 49ers game. So I don't know if, you know, is he, once you have success, does he start to do some of the things that Aaron Rodgers did? You know, making throws that maybe he wouldn't normally do because he knows he believes he can make them.
Hero ball.
Yeah, I don't see that in him, but if we're searching for little nits to pick, you know, that was that throw late over the middle into triple coverage while running, and it being on first down where you don't need to be a hero, that was a pretty big mistake, and I think Jordan has acknowledged that. All right, one more from the buy or co-sell audio vault.
Can't wait to see where this one takes us.
The word speedo commentary will not be uttered again, I can guarantee you that.
This is about the wide receiver one debate that's been ongoing throughout this offseason.
I thought as the year progressed, Reed and Wicks were the guys that stood out to me. Now, Reed, it may not be a number one in a strict sense. Obviously, he's more of a slot, but they used him as a motion receiver as the year progressed. He was the most targeted third down receiver, so clearly they felt that he had tremendous value there. And I thought Wicks, again, you know, you start getting into what's a number one. There's different kinds of number ones. And there's only four or five guys in the league that are truly, you know, in a sense, transcendent number ones. So where do other guys fit? You know, that you start getting into that question. So Wicks is certainly not that guy. But I remember watching Wicks his next to last year in college at Virginia, because the last year the whole offense fell apart in college, and I thought Wicks was a big-time prospect based on his second to last year in college. And then obviously it didn't work the last year. But, you know, he's a big body. Can he be the boundary X? They used Dobbs mostly in that role last year as the single receiver to the short side of the field. I don't know. Maybe Wicks might be the better guy for that as he continues to develop.
Well, you'll get no argument on either of his points from me. I assume he didn't get any argument from you, although you're the Christian Watson guy.
I'm a Christian Watson guy, but you can be – Jaden Reed is going to be their number one wideout. I believe that when it comes to where are we going when we need it, not explosive play. The Romeo Dobbs component of this, again, I think we've undersold him.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be fascinated to see – where he lands in this little wide receiver carousel, because there's going to be some jockeying now. There's going to be some jockeying this year trying to figure that out. Dontavian Wicks is a big question mark. Cosell loves him. And one of the reasons I love having Greg on is there ain't anybody that – he's a no-nonsense. He wouldn't even give a hot take. I can't get him to give a hot take.
Right. That's not
his thing. About that life.
Mm-hmm.
He's about watching hours. I mean – he's kind of a film sicko when it comes down to it. It's the middle of June, and he's like, oh, I just broke down 300 snaps at Jordan Love last week. Oh, well, that sounds like you and Greg would vacation together well. That's the deal. But his knowledge and how he operates, he sees things, and he sees the trends, and I think we all saw that Jaden Reed was the guy when it came to third down. That's where Jordan looked. Jordan spends his off season, spends a lot of time with Romeo Doubs. It's just going to be really fun, and that's why I've spent so much oxygen talking about the wide receiver core, because I think it's going to be the most fascinating thing to see unfold. They're just, the storylines can go 100 different ways. I don't know how it's going to shake out. It's not Devontae and then who's going to be his number two. We don't even know who the one is, and there's three or four guys that are potential candidates to do it. And I think the fact that Greg Cosell thought that these two players jumped off the screen, and then I saw Ocho Cinco basically telling all you blankers, you better know Jaden Reed's name. You better know. Because he views Jaden. Now, I don't know if he's got a relationship. I didn't research that, so take that for what it's worth. But Ocho Cinco is looking at this saying, Jaden Reed's a dog. And I think that's something we've all acknowledged. His versatility is something that I think is going to be huge moving forward with Jordan Love.
Greg Cosell and I will not be vacationing together, I don't anticipate, although we might walk the beach. No, I'm not even going to go there. So we need to play trivia. Jesse, it is Wednesday. It is Wisconsin Geography Wednesday. Which caller would you like?
Let's do caller number four.
Caller number four.
Because I'm getting back to being used to answering the phones. I don't want to do too many.
You don't want to do more than
four? Been a while. You know.
All right, caller four, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776, caller four for trivia coming up next. Tausch, tell us again about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, if you have an older home and you need new windows, well, the way we did things a century ago, it's a little different than today. Give Pella a call to get it all right. Their team of experts can customize windows and doors that will match architecture from any era. It doesn't matter what kind of home you live in. Just order today from Pella, and you get zero interest for up to 36 months. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends at the end of the month, which, by the way, I don't know how, but June is almost over.
Yeah.
Visit PellaWI.com today to get going.
Caller 4 for trivia, 844-770-3776. We will play next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back.
For trivia. Now, Jesse, what's the trivia about our trivia contestant?
So Dwayne in Stoughton is today's trivia contestant. Dwayne was a first-time contestant 3 weeks ago, and he has now gone from being a first-time contestant to one of our most frequent contestants, having played
maybe Dwayne?
Three straight weeks.
Well, let's welcome him in. Dwayne, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Doing awesome.
You're on quite the roll. How have you, I guess I don't keep track, I don't keep the statistics. If this is turn three in 3 weeks, how did the first 2 weeks go?
I had 4 for 4 and 3 for 4.
Ah, in terms of entries. All right, well, let's see if you can do 3 or 4 entries again today without really Tausch helping, but Tausch playing along. Wisconsin Geography. I'm sorry?
I'll be chipping in. Like this. Oh, I think this is right. If you're on the video screen, you get some big
There you go. All right. Well, Dwayne, here's question one. Jesse's Tier 3 friend Jake is traveling from Muskego to Sun Prairie for his bachelor party with the money he collected from a baseball tournament. Which direction is Jake primarily traveling? Is he traveling west, south, or not close enough for Jesse to stop by?
I'm going to go with west.
One for one.
Oh, I would have been wrong. I would have been wrong on that one.
What?
From Muskegon to Sun Prairie South?
I've made this trip a ton. I would have been wrong. Yeah, I was wrong.
And he made that trip without stopping. All right, question two, Dwayne, is this.
Are you sure that you go west from Sun Prairie to Muskego?
No, you're going Muskego to Sun Prairie.
Oh, okay. I misheard. I thought it was Sun Prairie to Muskego. Okay.
Details. I mean, it'd be east then. It's still not like going way south.
Dwayne. I'm glad Dwayne wasn't on the video.
You're not going from, like, I don't know, Crivets to Milwaukee.
Hey, Jesse, I was wrong. Hey, my bad.
All right, Dwayne, question two, on which you may or may not want Tausch's help, given the way question one went, is this. Goats on the roof of Al Johnson's Swedish restaurant can be observed in which of these Wisconsin cities? Is it New Glarus, Sister Bay, or Minocqua?
I'm going to go with Sister Bay.
You
yes,
should.
Sir.
Yes, sir. Up in Door County. Yes, sir. Two for two. All right, Dwayne, question three. Latitudinally, which of these Wisconsin cities is located farthest south? Farthest south. And it's not Sun Prairie. Is it Crandon, Crivets, or Carlsville? Farthest south, Crandon, Crivets, Carlsville.
I'm going to go with Carlsville. I have no idea where that one is.
Yeah, I'm going along with you on that.
I got no idea where Carlsville is either.
It's actually not that far from Al Johnson's Swedish restaurant in Door County.
Wow. Carlsville. Crivets and Crandon are up
there.
Yeah. Dwayne, the fact that you're playing a third week in a row means you have not.
Dwayne a win.
Yeah, it means you have not yet won the prize pack, correct?
We're working on it.
Well, you certainly are. Working as hard as Jesse did all last week. All right, you got all four entries into Friday's drawing. We wish you luck, Dwayne. Thanks.
Thank you. Have a good day, gentlemen.
That's impressive. Carlsville. Learn something new every day. Crandon is definitely not the farthest one south of those three. Tausch, I'm guessing that no matter you're driving to New Glarus, Sister Bay, Minocqua, Crandon, Crivets, Carlsville, whatever it may be, you're probably passing an exit that has a quick trip off of it.
I would bet you do, and in the summer, there's nothing quite like a stop at Quick Trip. And while I'm on the road, you get an ice-cold, refreshing drink like an ice-cold Coca-Cola. This summer just got a whole lot cooler with Quick Trip and Coca-Cola. You can play the Coca-Cola Summer Cash Grab Pull Tab game daily this summer in your Quick Rewards app. Enter into the weekly winner drawing where Quick Trip is giving away a total of $500,000. 10 weekly winners get $25,000 each, and one final week winner gets $250,000. 500 grand given away just for playing the Coca-Cola Summer Cash Grab Pull Tab game on the Quick Rewards app. You can even earn extra chances to win by using your Quick Rewards every time you purchase Coke, Monster Energy, Powerade, Body Armor, Smart Water, or Core Power Elite products. Download the app, the Quick Rewards app, today. See quicktrip.com/sweepstakes for full details.
Whoa, Nelly, with Jesse back in charge of Whoa, Nelly and not the entire show. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Returning to where he belongs, his producer's seat. Time now for Whoa, Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rucker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wildy and Tausch.
I've received my fair share of questionable texts, work-related, from you guys and others before. Is that a fair introduction to what I'm about to do here? Did you hear
about... I don't know where you're going.
I don't... Was it a text from me? Did it have Speedo in it?
Not that I know of. Pat Murphy, manager of the Milwaukee Brewers, who is quickly becoming one of the most loved people in Wisconsin sports history, I do believe, shared last night before the Brewers' 3-1 win over the Texas Rangers what he texted new Brewers pitcher Dallas Keuchel, who was acquired in a trade from the Seattle Mariners earlier in the day. Here is the text, read by Pat Murphy, that he sent Dallas Keuchel.
Pat Murphy here. I'm the manager of the Milwaukee Brewers baseball team, the team that you were just acquired by. I'm honored and excited to welcome you to our ball club. Please call me at your earliest convenience. I'd like to speak to you about your work schedule, subsequent contribution or lack thereof to our baseball team. Kindest regards.
It's a 70.
It's just to get them started, you know what I mean? Just
subsequent contribution or lack thereof to our baseball team. Dallas Keuchel, who has not had a great go of it as of late in the major leagues. He was signed to a minor league deal with the Mariners, last pitch in the majors, I believe, in 2022. Bounced around with a few different teams since after winning the Cy Young back in 2016. What do you make of the text Pat Murphy sent Dallas Keuchel? Tausch?
Well, I love the fact that he shared it. It's fun, man. You have to continue to remind yourself. And it's a fine line that people in authoritative positions have to play with, is you got to be serious. It's obviously a lot on the line, but it's still fun. And you better be able to have a little fun at your own expense and at others. So I love it. I think there should be more of this type of stuff, and especially in a long season like baseball. So I think it's fun.
It sounds to me like a text that you might send to Hunter or Riley or Alex Gravatt for when they're cousin subbing for you as the producer. I look forward to your contributions or lack thereof to Wildy and Tausch when I'm in as Wildy's replacement.
It's actually pretty good, yeah.
Whoa, Nelly!
The NBA draft aforementioned is tonight, 7 o'clock on ESPN and ABC. Coverage starts at 6 right after the Homer Hour or Rutledge and Hamilton, depending on where you're listening to us right now on ESPN Wisconsin. They have divided round 1 and 2 to different days for the first time. So round 1 is tonight, and they take a break. Round 2 is at 3 in the afternoon tomorrow. If you're going to divide the NBA draft into two different days with Bronny James potentially being drafted in round 2...
What are they doing?
Why is it at 3 in the afternoon tomorrow? What's up with that, Tausch?
It has to be something, obviously, financial-related. I would venture to say if it wasn't Bronny James going to be drafted, this ain't happening. The second round, they don't get guaranteed contracts. Nikola Jokic was drafted by the Denver Nuggets in the second round. They didn't even go through the whole pick. They went to a Taco Bell commercial as Jokic was getting drafted. So that tells you a lot about how that's all viewed. I think they've seen what the NFL has been able to have with splitting things up and having great success doing it the way they've done it financially. And they thought, let us get in on this action.
Yeah.
So I'm sure ESPN and ABC probably said, let's split this into two nights. Why you would do Thursday night, which is a better TV night than Wednesday, I think. But I don't know. Usually whenever I ask a question why someone's doing something, I always come back to the same answer. It's for money. And that's, I'm sure, what this is the case, too.
All right. I don't know the answer either. I would say that you want to be like the NFL, then do it Thursday, Friday in prime time. And you can point out that there have been all these different players that have been second-round picks that became important slash terrific players in your league to keep TV interest. 3 o'clock makes no sense whatsoever. I do want to point out that I'm reading the ESPN mock draft. And do you know who ESPN has the Bucks taking at number 23?
Zach Edey.
No, but he's going 17th to the Lakers. I thought he wasn't draftable. What has changed with him suddenly? Because during the college season, there was nothing but trashing him and his chances of being an NBA player. The Bucks projected to take Kyle Filipowski.
No.
From Duke. Boy, I hope this is wrong.
Oh, my God. Storm the court.
Is he the guy that faked the injury after storm?
Yes.
Oh, God.
The good news is, had he not done that, I would have had no clue what team he was on. So, good for Kyle.
Well, you would have known once the tournament started. And he is... I hope that that turns out to be incorrect, because he is a cheap Christian Laettner knockoff and not nearly as good of a player.
Wow. I hope they've done their homework on his injury status.
That is wow.
You better hope they don't draft him.
That's the most flaming take I've ever heard you say.
I said that in March when he was doing his whining on the court too. Hey, Christian Laettner is a friend of the program. He was great when he was on years ago. I actually came around, and I like Christian Laettner now. Maybe I'll come around on Kyle Filipowski if he's a Buck. Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly!
Dominated another 6 games of pickleball last night, Tausch. I'm up for any challenge you want.
All right. Whoa, stop. I have not caught up on Wisconsin On Demand or the ESPN Milwaukee or ESPN Madison YouTube channels. When did you become a pickleball player, and what is this trash-talking that is now occurring regarding your pickleball exploits?
It's just another example of my superior athleticism on display. I'm good at racket sports. And Tausch wants to change his Twitter bio because his Twitter bio says racket sports enthusiast, and I said, I'm great at badminton, I'm great at ping pong. Tennis, I'm probably a little questionable, but I've discovered that I'm very good at pickleball. We play pretty much every Tuesday night. It's just 4 of us that go, me and Becca and her 2 friends, and I just dominate the entire situation. And I'm looking around at the other courts, and I'm looking at everything. I'm like, I could take all these people here right now. I'm good at it. I want to be Tausch's sub for his league and see how I compare to some of the big dogs.
I want you to be Tausch's teammates and see what happens.
All right, here's what I'm going to do, Jesse. Here's what I'm going to do. No, I'm not going to do that. I will get our level 1 group that plays, and I will say I'll put you with the best player, and we'll see how you come back. I'll organize this. I'll talk to either Chad or Dave or Danny, and I'll say, all right, there's a young whippersnapper, thinks he's the real deal. And I'll see what happens. I would venture to say, now, if you lose, there's a hat you have to wear if you get skunked. I would venture to say you'll be skunked.
Wait, what? There's a hat?
Yeah, if you get skunked,
the hat
of
shame?
There's like a little hat. Yeah, it's a hat of shame.
Is level
great idea?
Level 1, is that like the Premier
now,
League?
Jesse, here's
or is
the deal.
That like the Wrexham
You're gonna
League?
Have to get up, just like with Jimmy Paulzine, came and did the thing. You got to get up and do it in the morning. I just got a text from another level 1 guy. Tracy said, "Let me know when you need it. I'm in for the match."
Yeah.
So these guys are. If you really think you're that good, that's great. I'm excited for you. I think it'll be a little different than you hammering it at one of Becca's friends' face, who's never played pickleball before, where you're playing against somebody else, but I could be wrong.
The sport hasn't even been around that long. It's not like they got years on me. Well, they actually do have years on me, I guess, but not decades. Like, it's not like this thing's been around since the 60s, man. It's like 5 years this thing's been around.
If I may, How would you and do so accurately while also remembering that you live with Becca and you don't want to be criticizing her pickleball acumen on the radio, but how would you rate the quality of opponents that you faced, and did you think about the possibility that perhaps you were benefiting from a lesser level of competition before you started talking trash to our resident racket sport enthusiast and his other people that he plays with on a regular basis?
You know when you're watching a number one ranked team in the country in Ohio State, even when they play Akron in week one. You know when you see it.
So, and you're not Akron on this?
No, I'm not Akron. No. No.
You're Ohio
Who
State.
Who are you then?
I would be Ohio State in the analogy, Tausch.
So then, who would these guys that I would be setting you up to play with, who would they be if you're a
The Patriots.
State?
You're going to have to tell me. Bama?
No, I don't have to tell you. I didn't make the proclamation. So, no, I don't have to tell you. This will be interesting. We got to see if Maddie... We'll have to see if Maddie's available
Social
to document
media,
this.
Digi only.
I'll make sure the boys are... we only need to get three guys, right? The only thing is, I don't know who I'm going to put with you. That's the tricky part of this whole deal. We'll figure it out.
Well, whoever gets put with him will be much better off because, as he has pointed out, he is the Ohio State of pickleball.
Preseason number one.
Okay. Jesse,
Jesse, if you make a wager and you get beat, you need a little extra spending cash, we'll send you over to Fortria, and you'll be able to get that cash to pay your bets if you want to go to Brazil, whatever it might be. Fortria has you covered, and I'll tell you, some of these new studies that are coming out, there's some big-time money to be made. Healthy men, age 18 to 55, BMI of 19 to 32. The study involves one stay of 51 all the way up to 101 nights with one follow-up call, and you can make between, depending on how many days you stay, $19,273 all the way to $32,973 for your time and participation. Head to FortriaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortria, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, ClinicalTrials.com.
We'll wrap things up next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
What's up, Madison? It's head coach Kelly Sheffield.
Wisconsin proved they were the number one team in the country tonight.
You're listening to Madison's new home for Wisconsin Badger Volleyball, 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.